Before we begin this episode, I want to give a shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. That includes Christian Galindo, Evelyn Preciado, and Cassandra Tapia over on our BBF, BFF level. If you want to help support the creation of this podcast, you can go on and give us a dollar in exchange for some posts, or $5 in exchange for video episodes. $10 for an extra episode every month, $15 for your name at the end of the episode, and $30 at the for your name at the beginning of the episode. All that, helps us keep this podcast going and helps us know that folks really appreciate like what we're doing over here at Bitter Brown Femmes LCC. So thanks again for supporting us on Patreon. You can check the link in the description. That's patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Let's start the show. All right, let's do it live. Hello, hello, hello. I am your host, Ruben, coming to you from Portland, Oregon. And we gotta cut right through it. Like this week's recession indicator is also the main topic of the day. The main recession indicator is the fact that ICE is terrorizing America. And let's talk about why that's a recession indicator. And it's basically because ICE, just like the police force, it's part of the same fucking, whatchamacallit, monster machine meant to imprison people. And ultimately meant to extract free labor, right? So when we all know that the prison system is meant as a continuation of the slavery system, right? Right? So we abolished slavery, right? But then the 13th Amendment made that a little murky, right? So it was like, yeah, we abolished slavery, except for in cases when people are imprisoned, essentially, right? Then people are essentially able to legally work for as little as like $1 a day. I think maybe even less. I think sometimes it's like 35 cents a day. It's like a not real wage, right? So that's why you have for-profit prisons, right? Prisons that make money the more people get incarcerated in it. And taken from that example, ICE is also a for-profit program, right? That's why we're having the US government is having extensions of the detention centers, whether it be in El Salvador or in Africa. People are getting detained, and then basically being sold off to these different places to work for free. Right? Sorry about that. I've been fighting this goddamn cough for like a week. But yeah, in ICE detention centers, essentially, some folks are also made to work for like pittances, right? Sometimes as little as like a dollar a day again. And all this essentially, like one of the other than like commissary, which I'm not even sure it's available in ICE detention centers, but what is available in ICE detention centers that people do pay for is like phone calls, right? And those can cost, something like $5 for a phone call, that lasts just a couple minutes. And so people basically work all week to afford those $5 in these ICE detention centers. And there's private ICE detention centers, essentially, places where it benefits them to illegally detain as many people as possible to work for free, right? And it's more nefarious than you think. On top of like these prisons like making money off the free labor, they also make deals with other companies, right? So everything that you can think of that we regularly need to live, like electricity and food and shit like that. Like they make deals with other companies who provide that food or that they pay for and they have contracts with, right? So one of the biggest ones is Aramark, which is one of the biggest providers of prison food, and they make a profit off of that, right? There's money to be made out of imprisoning folks. And so when the government is trying to enslave all these people, they who are already providing cheap labor, mind you, a lot of immigrant folks are already like in the lower part of the caste system, right? We have a caste system in America. And if you don't know what a caste system is, it's essentially like a oftentimes unspoken social hierarchy system where depending on where you are, and it's divided mostly it's like racial or economic, right? And you're treated differently by where you are in the caste system, right? Mostly we understand the racial caste system, which puts white people on top and due to white supremacy, and black people in the bottom due to, again, to anti-blackness, which is the same thing as white supremacy essentially, or the other side of white supremacy, and everybody else falls somewhere in between. And other caste systems, economical ones, right? They have like the slave class essentially, right? And then we have like the billionaire class, right? Basically the feudal overlords. And so when you're taking a people who are already making like nothing already and imprisoning them so they can work for free essentially, that in and of itself is creating a slave class, which is worsening the already dramatic divide between folks who are undocumented and everybody else. When you are undocumented in this country, you are not allowed to have very many jobs, at least not legally, right? Like most jobs require you to have a social security number, an ID. And if you're undocumented, or don't even have a work permit or anything like that, you can't get those jobs. And these jobs are as like, and I'm not even talking about lawyers and all that shit, which is a whole other thing. I'm talking about like you can't even be a cashier at like the CVS or whatever. If you're undocumented in this country, you really cannot exist in public spaces. You cannot, you don't even get to have the luxury of like a tax return, even though you make very little as an undocumented person. But you do pay taxes on your wages. You do pay taxes on your purchases, right? So it is just by design, being undocumented puts you in a lower space in the caste system that is unspoken in this country. And it's baked in, right? And I mentioned those low paying jobs not because I think those are the only jobs that like undocumented folks are suited for, but because other jobs, like I mentioned earlier, like law or corporate stuff, those CEOs or the people, those firm owners or whatever, they well, I don't know. Law is probably exempt from this because they have to hire state by state. But like these big corporations, they can hire internationally because they pay for visas and all that shit to get people to who they think are talented to work for them, right? And those visas are not cheap, right? They can run tens of thousands of dollars just to have someone work for you. But if you're a corporation where money's no issue and you only want the talented people to work for you, then that money's easy to spit out, right? But it's not easy to come by. A visa in general is not easy to apply for, right? There are so many hoops to get to come to this country, quote unquote, legally. And that's assuming you even have the money to pay for all the legal hurdles that you have to come to this country, quote unquote, legally. And coming here as a refugee, which, is a human right to escape unlivable circumstances, and to migrate, and it's a human nature to migrate. So barring those, the United States have stopped allowing refugees coming into this country for the most part. So there are very few ways for people to come to America and not immediately start in the lowest part of the caste system. And still, the US's broke ass still wants to put people in a lower space in the caste system and essentially make them the slave class in a legal sense. But now on to like the news that has been, all over the place for the last week or so, and that is that ICE murdered Renee Good, who is a queer woman who was simply defending her neighborhood when ICE showed up to her neighborhood and was terrorizing it. She had just dropped off her child at school and was not terrorizing anybody. She was in the way, she was asking questions. And when ICE was telling her, giving her contradictory instructions, she was being surrounded first by ICE officers. One of them was telling her to move, the other one was telling her not to move, and they were yelling at her. And we see clearly in the video that she responded to their aggression by saying, "I'm not mad at you," and said it with a smile, said it as kindly as anybody can. And an ICE officer shot her to death, point blank in the face, 3 times. There's a lot that is to be unpacked there. First, I think I want to talk about something that isn't covered as much, and that is the fact that Renee Good was given contradictory instructions, one of them telling her to move, the other one telling her not to move. So no matter what she did, she was in the wrong, right? That is a tactic that law enforcement uses to confuse and confuse victims and paralyze their target and essentially give them carte blanche to proceed with violence. If Renee Good would have stayed in place, she would have been shot. She decided to move and was still shot. There are right-wing media pundits that are saying she was trying to run people over. There was nobody who was clearly directly in front of her. Her wheels were always turned away from people. And she was still shot. Not that even if she was trying to run somebody over, that's not fully illegal. Like, even if she, like, that doesn't give cops the right to shoot somebody. That's still illegal. And as Trump said that Renee Good and her friend were being disrespectful to ICE, being disrespectful is part of your First Amendment rights. You can be disrespectful to people. That is literally First Amendment rights. So where are the First Amendment rights people when you fucking need them? I thought y'all bitches like freedom of speech. Renee Good was exercising her freedom of speech by maybe being condescending, but none of her words were condescending or inflammatory. She was asking questions. She was getting in, maybe putting herself in the way of ICE kidnapping people. And she was murdered. It is important to not erase her queer identity. Renee Good was in the car with her partner, who also was noted by ICE as being condescending. Again, that's not a crime. But it is a offense to their eyes that a woman, a queer woman, clearly clear woman, right? Renee Good's partner was butch presenting. That offends them, right? When they released the video of ICE killing Renee Good, It didn't make them look less, and it didn't make ICE look less innocent at all. But they wanted to present to the world this notion of like who deserves to live, right? The MAGA like fandom, I don't know what the cult, they don't really care about right from wrong. They care about what they've been indoctrinated into, right? So they've already been told, like, all these marginalized people, all these unwants, like unwantables, right? People of color, queer people, trans people, they don't deserve rights, they don't deserve life. So even though in this video that ICE released, and you see ICE like shooting Renee Good point blank, even though she was like clearly turning away, clearly not being an aggressor, they shot her point blank because they want to show the violence against a queer person, right? They want to show their cult that queer people are fair game, right? That queer people deserve violence for merely existing. And so this wasn't even about clearing the ICE agent's name, right? Because later they also posted profiles of Renee Good, which included her pronouns, and even made fun of that. Like, oh, this is, of course, they had pronouns in their bio, as if that were a bad thing, and as if they themselves didn't have pronouns, right? Like, you have to remember that, like, a lot of these fucking MAGA conservative idiots, like, don't understand even, like, the concept of a pronoun. So if you like ask them what their pronoun is, they're like, they'll be like, I don't have pronouns, right? Which is hilarious, because they're fucking idiots, and that's like a for many of them, the lemming portion of the MAGA party, being an idiot is the prerequisite. And I say the lemmings because there is like they also have their pyramid scheme, right? Their pyramid structure. There's the lemmings who are idiots who like just follow along stupidly. And then there's the more you go is like the more money people are making from this whole MAGA movement, right? Because ultimately that's what it is. It's about making the billionaire classes more indestructible in the grand scheme of things, and getting everybody to buy into that. Mind you, this is the same fucking base that was crying when their own was shot at in the January 6 protests, right? One of them even fucking made a mural of Renee Good and one of the January 6 rioters that was shot on fucking AI, which reminds me again why I just don't fucking use AI, kids. But yeah. And Renee Good is not even the first citizen that is died by ICE. There has been other folks who have died in detention, but there's also recently been someone who died not in detention. Keith Porter was shot by an off-duty ICE officer on New Year's Eve. Keith Porter, as is customary in LA, shot his gun up in the air. And if you're not from the fucking hood, shut the fuck up. You don't know what the fuck that culture's like. That you shoot it in the air. You don't, it's not like apartment living like so much as other big cities. So shoot in the air, usually not a huge deal. And an ICE officer, off duty again, came over and killed Keith Porter. He leaves behind a family in LA, and his case hasn't gotten as much press as Renee Good. I want to say a part of it is because it was not filmed and televised and put on all social media, but another part of it is because, unlike Renee Good, who is a white woman, Keith Porter was a black man. And we normalize black death in this country, right? Which reminds me that it reminds me that Renee Good was shot only about a mile away from where George Floyd was shot No, was not shot, was murdered by a police person, policeman, putting their knee and cutting off the air supply of George Floyd in 2020. So this is all Minnesota. So Minnesota right now is rioting or protesting on different levels, and they're being met with violence from the government, who sent even more ICE agents over to Minnesota. Which, like, I also want to remind folks that, like, the reason that, like, Minnesota is even being attacked is because this dumbass conservative YouTuber, Nick Shirley, swarmed a bunch of daycares throughout the state of Minnesota to supposedly expose fraud, right? But, and posted all over his YouTube, which became, like, the biggest, like, most watched YouTube video from, like, a non-affiliated, independent channel or some bullshit like that. But this fucking piece of shit, dude, Nick Shirley, went to all these fucking daycares and was like, "Where are the kids? Let me see the kids." And it's like, "Why are the windows blacked out?" And I was like, "Bitch, it's a daycare. It's so that weirdos like you don't fucking spy on kids like that." And so he went to a bunch of these daycares, said there was a bunch of fraud happening, and the government not only cut funding for daycares, but started investigations on shit, which found fraud in some of them, but it was all linked to white people. The biggest, like, frauds in this daycare scheme, which I'm sure is not even unique to Minnesota, were just white people. And yet, immigrants are the ones paying for this shit. Immigrants are the ones paying for the crimes of white people. They're being scapegoated. So ICE was being sicked even more in Minnesota, who has, like, a large Somali population, which also, like, another reason Minnesota is being attacked is because of that, and because Ilhan Omar's relationship to Minnesota, and this has begun out, months ago when Trump began attacking them, and Somalis responded with humor, right? Pretending that they were owed Minneapolis and Minnesota. But this is just, like, a long, like, chain of racist events that have led us to this, right? God, I don't even know where to go, because, like, even if, there's so many things to cover with this, because even the way Ilhan Omar has been treated for her entire fucking political career, even under Joe Biden, right? I want, like, a lot of you fucking liberals are, like, out here saying, like, this wouldn't happen under Kamala or whatever. And it's like, no, Ilhan Omar was, like, and Rashida Tlaib were censured during the fucking Biden years for speaking in support of Palestine, right? They were called anti-Semitic, and their lives have been consistently threatened since day one, right? It was, like, real fucking, like, murder threats. Right. Not only that, but Kamala Harris ran a fucking campaign saying she would be tougher on the border, and never once was she, like, abolish ICE, which, by the way, like, abolishing ICE is, like, the bare minimum. So, like, if any of these fucking politicians are saying, like, defund, or, like, or some people are saying, like, lower their funding, like AOC, who, by the way, sells abolish ICE merch as recently as January, like, 12, she was still selling ICE merch, like, abolish ICE merch on her online store, but is now taking a more, like, moderate approach and saying, like, oh, we have to lower their funding. Like, bitch, no, we need to get rid of them. Like, we already have a police force, which is bad enough. We do not need, like, what people are calling, like, a contemporary Gestapo. Like, which is a whole other conversation. Like, the ICE, people comparing ICE to contemporary Gestapo, but it's like there's so much more historical context that goes into that that, like, makes ICE even worse, right? And there's the other side of, like, the defund abolish ICE conversation, and there's some fucking liberals that are saying that, like, we need to fund ICE more so that they can have proper training. And it's like, The motherfucker who killed Renee Good had like a decade with the Department of Homeland Security. It's not that they need more training, is that their current training and ISIS's current function is to terrorize America and to racially profile people in order to kill them, deport them, or enslave them. That is ISIS's function. Kill people, deport people, or enslave them. Oftentimes, deportation leads to enslavement. Like, that is their function. They do not to be trained, do not need to be trained more to help them accomplish their mission better. And there's a lot of fucking liberals trying to like profit off this moment. Maybe not like financially, but yes, kind of in that like now people are going to be like, help us fight this fascism, donate to the fucking Democratic Party. But reputationally wise, right? So we have Mayor Jacob Frey of Minneapolis, who is, cussing out ICE on national TV. Meanwhile, like, he has the power to kick them out. Meanwhile, back in 2020, when George Floyd protests were happening and people were telling him to defund the police, he like refused, but still made like a show of like kneeling with protesters and shit and showing that he was also grieving, and only to then sick the police on Minneapolis, right? There are about like 70 Democrats on paper who voted to raise ISIS funding, actually. So whenever folks are talking about like, oh, vote blue to make this better, like especially as the midterms are coming along, like fucking like check them on the record of people who they're asking you to vote and shit like that. Like recently, Bowen Yang and Matt Bowen of Las Culturistas were under fire for saying like, don't give money to Jasmine Crockett, who's like running for Senate in Texas, and because she's like a self-serving politician. And it's like, it's funny because they like everybody's calling them racist and shit, and they're apologizing for that shit. But it's kind of like Jasmine Crockett voted to like help keep funding Israel. She will not condemn Israel. Like, base n one. Like, she's not out here asking to abolish ICE either. Like, maybe the way they worded shit was wrong, but it's like, it's a lot of these self-serving like Democrats who want to look like they're doing something just by being like contradictory to Trump, but in words only, not in like action, right? So we have like Gavin Newsom also is another example of like somebody who's like, Trump sucks, like isn't California great, and all I'm doing is great, because like Gavin Newsom is like trying to position himself for like a 2028 run for president. Meanwhile, like it's been like a week since Renee Good was shot, and he has not said a word about that. And ICE is still terrorizing California, right? He's saying like legal immigration is good, and we're so like ahead of things because we are like all of our industries are great, but like ICE is still terrorizing our people. Right, like, meanwhile, Gavin Newsom is also like a proponent of a bill that's supposed to like remove estate taxes, and he's making it sound like it's gonna help everybody, but like in California at least, like you don't get charged on estate taxes if your estate is less than 13 million. Like, I want to say that most everybody in America, in the world, even, I want to be that bold. Most everybody in this goddamn world is not leaving an estate behind of 13 million to anybody. So, like, this tax affects the 1% that should be paying taxes, right? So, him getting rid of this estate tax is not going to help anybody but the billionaire class, right? We have him consistently making homelessness, a crime and not doing anything to actually protect undocumented people. And yet he's trying to position himself as this like moral opposite of Donald Trump, right? What he's really offering is the civility that liberals like salivate over. Meanwhile, ICE is still like out here kidnapping people, like Juan Carlos, who was a 17-year-old dude who was just working his shift at Target and got kidnapped by ICE at his job, beaten up. And then when they found out he wasn't actually a citizen, they dumped him like a 8-minute walk away from his job, right? There's video of this poor fucking kid crying when he's dumped out of his car with folks trying to help him out. And ICE is also detaining Native American folks to the point where a lot of them are carrying their identifications and to prove their citizens and shit like that. And ultimately, this is just about racially profiling. It is most proof by the fact that a priest was recently detained by ICE when they pointed guns at him and told him that if asked him if he was afraid, and they keep repeating no. And then when they locked him, when they put him in the car and he was still not afraid, they let him go after telling him that, like, you're white, so you wouldn't be any fun anyway. Like, that's insane shit. Like, this is happening in our country. Like, we are no longer in, like, is this fascism? They're like, no, this is very clearly fascism. Our media outlets are being fucking censored. What was it? CBS was completely bought out, and now we have Barry Weiss running that shit, censoring. And like, there was supposed to be like a 60-minute special, 60-minute special on like Epstein and shit like that. That was supposed to like expose more people, but she didn't let it run on CBS. It's still available. It ran in Canada, I believe, so it's still watchable. So we still found out all the journalism that people did, but it was not as widely spread as it should have been for something that was of that magnitude. Under this fascist state, we're also losing pretty much complete loss of freedom of speech. People have lost jobs for just quoting Charlie Kirk, as opposed to mourning him, which reminds me that as this whole thing with the news of Renee Good has come out and people are acting. Democrats are acting like they're concerned. There's also like a wave of them that are like, don't give a fuck. Like Democratic Representative Gluesome Camp Perez, who spoke out about Charlie Kirk's death only about 14 minutes after he was shot, but she hasn't said shit about Renee Good at all. And so we're constantly seeing where these people are, right? So people get mad that like leftists are holding liberals' feet to the fire. But it's like, if we don't do that, we're gonna end up back here and worse. Because that's how we got here. We try to hold their feet, liberals' feet to the fire before 2016. And then again, before 2020, and all through the Biden presidency, all through the Trump presidency. And liberals kept saying to shut up and, Trump is worse, blah, blah. Trump is worse, but how we get there is because liberals paved the way, right? Bush created like ICE and the Department of Homeland Security, blah, blah. Guess who made it worse, bitch? Obama, deporter in chief. Then, by Obama making it worse, Trump came in and was like, saw this fucking horrible institution, ramped it up to 100, made it worse. Biden sustained it. To the point that Trump is now back in office and ramping it again to 200. Like, you have to push back against liberals. If not, we just end up back in this place, but worse, right? It's just biding us time until things get worse. And like, y'all need to wake up. Y'all need to wake your fucking families up on this shit because we can't. Like, we're lucky if we make it to 2028. We're lucky if we make it to the fucking midterms. Because one of the big reasons that, like, Trump is, like, activating ICE and terrorizing people, too, is that he's waiting for, like, most leftists believe that he's waiting for, he's poking the bear, right? He's poking the general public, terrorizing the general public, waiting for, like, for a breaking point where the general public fights back in a very tangible way against ICE and his illegal, essentially, terrorizing of the population. He's waiting for us to snap back at them so that he can then insert martial law, and that would suspend elections. It would make it so that people are forced to basically stay at their homes and not do anything at all that would ruffle feathers of the government. So this is all part of his fucking plan to make America snap again, essentially. Because ICE continues to terrorize people in Minneapolis. Just recently, that kid I mentioned earlier who was detained at Target was Minneapolis or was Minnesota. And then they also recently, as of Wednesday, I mean Tuesday, they pulled a disabled woman out of her car who was blocking the path, or like speed, or like trying to make her way through the path that ICE was blocking because she needed to get to a fucking doctor's appointment. Again, this was a disabled woman. They broke through her glass, yelling at her, threatening her, and eventually dragged her out of her car, cut her out of her seatbelt. The woman has not yet been identified as of Tuesday, January 13th. But this happened in public. And then drove off with her car. She did not make it to the doctors. Two people were shot in Portland by ICE agents. They managed to run away and eventually call ambulance to make it to the hospital. But yeah, they are trying to again kill, deport, enslave, and all that to get Americans to snap in order to install martial law is what a lot of leftists believe this is leading to. And the proof is kind of in the pudding. Like, he with midterm elections coming up, Republicans have been caught saying, like, if we go to midterms, essentially a lot of these Republicans will be jailed because they'll lose majority. They're already super unpopular. Like, something I want to remind people of is, as we're watching all this shit, is that like Trump is not popular. Like, it seems like he's all powerful because he's doing all this shit, but people do not support like the shit that he's doing, right? Like, he's wildly unpopular, and the more and he knows that, and that's why he keeps like squeezing his grasp upon Americans, right? And everybody who lives in the US. So, I mean, all this shit is bad news. There is hope in the fact that he is unpopular. People are getting activated. And on that note, to get activated, join orgs around you, right? Like, recently there was a comment on one of our latest episodes that was like, or one of the last episodes of last season, that like said, like, oh, you know, there's, you know, what can we do essentially? And it's like, you can join orgs, you can join unions, you can join DSA chapters there. If there's a small issue you care about, I guarantee that there's an org in your community about it that addresses it. And if not, you can be the one to start it and rally people. Like, you can be one of those people with the clipboards out there, be like, hey, you want to, you know, join the fight against fascism. It can be something smaller, right? There are always prison pen pal groups to join that are virtual that still do the work, right? There are so many different ways that you can help. But you just gotta join other people. Like, you can't be fighting this shit alone. Your efforts are not good on your own. Like, just straight up, like, there is power in being with other folks, even if it's just a couple of you, right? And in the most basic sense of things, like, you have people who will look out for you, right? So pair that with the fact that like this isn't forever. Trump is unpopular, people are fighting back, and you two can always fight back. Right. With that said, I want to talk about what made me less bitter this week, and that is the sense that there's 2016 optimism in the air. Like the children are like, 2016 is back, baby. And you know, that's, and I have been feeling that 2016 optimism where like our biggest enemy was Hillary Clinton and Pokemon Go was all the rage. But yeah, there's Mamdani, you know, just won a few months ago. He's officially mayor and already getting to business. Like he's already providing free childcare in New York. He's really active. And then, yeah, there's just so much optimism in the air because we're seeing it through the facade, I think, as a population. So yes, everything I just spoke about for the last fucking hour or whatever is fucked up. It is horrendous. And yet we are not taking it lying down. A part of it is that we learn our lessons from 2020 and the last few years, and people are waking up to liberals' uselessness. And we're doing something about it. And so that all is giving me optimism. Along with that, like 2016 was a good year in music. So, and a lot of the artists who released music then are like threatening to release music now. So I want to hold on to that optimism. I don't, even though things are bad, like I don't subscribe to nihilism. I think that was one of the big wedges between me and Cassandra, is that like she was very nihilistic about things, and I just can't subscribe to that. There is no point in living for me if it's all doomed. If I don't believe that there's a better future we can carve out, even if it's communal and immediate and not on a grander scale, I just can't subscribe to this idea that if we're all doomed. And so, yeah, 2016 optimism is what made my week brighter. A part of that is listening to a lot of Sarah Larson, who I've become more and more in love with. Like she recently posted this like series of stories that talked about like that started with something to the effect of like, I love slutty women, trans people, queer people, immigrants, and fuck ICE. And she went on a rant about how like, you know, her boyfriend of 6 years can't visit her while she's in the States because he smoked a joint once and that was illegal at the time. And you know, how Ronald Reagan started this like wave of cruelty essentially, and just went on like a woke fucking rant. And like it also makes me fucking happy that like woke is back, baby. Like put the pronouns back in your fucking bio and in the email. Like, I feel like because Republicans have proven to be so fucking uncool, even though they have cultural dominance, like wokeism is back. People like Vince Staples are gaining traction with their like woke rants and shit. And it's like when somebody as cool as Vince Staples is like laying down history and like also contemporary events, like you can't help but listen. And anyone who's like in opposition of somebody like him kind of seems like a fucking loser. Because on the other side of that shit, you have fucking JD Vance's whack ass. Yeah, so I'm filled with a lot of hope, and that's what made me less bitter this week. All right, y'all. Again, I am gonna give solo episodes one more week, and then after that I will be accepting guests. So if you want to be a guest on this episode, hit me up on Patreon, patreon.com/bitterbrownfams. I will check out, or if you have any suggestions of people who should be, yeah, hit me up. I will reach out to them and try to get them booked here. Yeah, I'll try to keep it weekly and figure it out with them. I want to get more perspectives, even if they're like an entertainment figure. As long as they want to talk politics, they're welcome on this podcast. You know, just like even celebrities have to talk politics when they go on Hassan's podcast. Same shit here. Like, yeah, you can come promo shit, but it'll ultimately be about politics. And I will, there will be a back and forth. It won't just be like the guest spewing nonsense. So yeah, hit me up if you want to be featured. If you know somebody who you would want featured, hit me up and let's get to it. All right, y'all. Thank you for joining in. All right. Take care. Bye. All right. Before we get end this episode, I want to give a shout out to our I Know Her Level patrons. And that is Fernando Peña, Selena Portera, Miranda E, Magdalena Saucedo, Ronnie Leyva, and Bianca Garcia. If you want to support this podcast, keep the episodes coming, keep the episodes improving, support us on Patreon. The link is in the description. That is patreon.com/bitterbrownfans. Take care. Bye.